ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Every year, Australians are told to fly abroad for cancer treatment.
We need this bloody machine.
Then, an exciting pitch.
A proton therapy centre, first of its kind in Australia.
But is it happening?
No one's raising $50 million on Facebook.
This bloody machine, a new investigation. Search Background Briefing Podcast on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pauline Hanson is on a roll. The latest test, a by-election in a small coastal corner south of Perth, where almost 40% of voters gave One Nation a tick of approval. Heights, Labor and the Coalition at this point could only dream of. Today, Michelle Grattan, Chief Political Correspondent at The Conversation, on the One Nation Blitz. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily.
One Nation has pulled off an historic win in Western Australia, securing its first lower house seat in the closely watched state by-election.
The ABC called Secret Harbour for the minor party's candidate, Luca Dudgeon, just 4 hours after vote counting began.
The people have had enough. They definitely felt neglected in the outer southern suburbs. And, you know, they certainly sent a message, I think, to Canberra as well and to Anthony Albanese that they're unhappy.
I don't get carried away with it. It's incredibly humbling. It's obviously decisive.
To win our first lower house seat in Western Australia is absolute fantastic news. And to win it on the vote that we did, looking at about a 40% primary vote, I said it's just marvellous. We're all really happy about it.
Michelle, not very long ago, we were a nation of two major parties, but not anymore, right?
That's certainly the case, and we now keep seeing this repeated. The by-election in Western Australia, the state by-election, has sent that message very clearly earlier in the year. Federally, we had the Farrow by-election taken by One Nation, which showed that we've got a big third major player.
Yeah, and given this result in Western Australia, it's clear that One Nation is not only a threat to the Coalition, to the conservative side of politics, it's very much a threat to Labor as well.
Certainly, I think that Labor actually recognised this even before this by-election.
Mm-hmm.
Savvy people in Labor were saying, we see this danger, we're trying to judge how to meet it. They weren't at all just relishing the fact that it was a problem for the Conservatives, although, of course, that's a big bonus for Labor. But now that One Nation has really cut through the Conservative parties, I think it's quite clear that it's after Labor, as Barnaby Joyce said on election night in Farrah. It's coming for Labor seats.
If people say, oh, this is just something, you know, like, you know, John the Baptist, a voice cries out in the wilderness, you're wrong. This is a dynamic change, and talking to people last night.
And this is the first seat One Nation has won from Labor since 1998 in the Queensland state election. But Michelle, just give me a better sense of the significance of this. Now, this by-election result in Secret Harbour, now that's a beachside electorate south of Perth, One Nation received a primary vote of almost 40%. Explain how difficult it is to do that.
Well, we've seen the major parties, the Coalition and the Labor Party, really having their vote for some time settling around the 30s, even into the 20s. So when they were getting 40%, which actually wasn't all that long ago, but seems to be a dream area, here you have One Nation getting it now, admittedly in a by-election, big protest vote and all those things.
Yes.
But 40% or nearly 40% is a huge primary vote these days. And remember, there were 16 candidates. So to get nearly 40% in that very large field is certainly impressive.
Yeah, it sure is. Now, the WA Premier, Roger Cawke, he has promised that Labor will listen to this result.
The voters of Secret Harbour have spoken and we will listen. This campaign has been a reminder that Western Australians are doing it tough. Now more than ever, members of Parliament have to stay connected to their community, have to reflect the concerns of their community, and I'm sure...
As you say, it is a state by-election, so local issues do come into play here, and as you said, there's this protest vote. So it doesn't necessarily mean that would translate on a national level, does it?
No, but nevertheless, the polls that we're seeing show that One Nation is pretty strong nationally. And as I said, it took the Farah by-election. On this point of listening, I think that this is quite interesting because when these reverses happen, politicians say, we'll listen. But for many of these One Nation voters, they just dismiss this. They just see this as poly talk. And they feel that politicians say they'll listen, but actually they're not hearing these voters. That's the perception of many of these people who are voting for One Nation. And while it's a protest vote, it's going beyond a protest vote also. It's a grievance vote. It's a vote against the system and the big parties that are seen as running that system, benefiting that system. And the more they put out these talking points, the less I think these frustrated voters feel convinced by those talking points. They just think that all that sort of plastic politics, and they see in Pauline Hanson authentic politics.
Voted One Nation. Blue and red have been in this country for long enough and, well, it just keeps going to shit, so let's try something different for once.
Everyone's fed up to the teeth with Albanese, fed up to teeth with the green energy scam.
I don't trust Labor Liberal. Yeah, Pauline Hanson is the way to go.
Well, as we said, this is the first seat One Nation has won from Labor since 1998 in Queensland. So why don't we consider now, Michelle, how the Labor Party will deal with this very real threat as it heads towards a federal poll in 2028. Now, at the Queensland Labor Conference on Sunday, the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, he said it was a crucial time for the Labor movement.
Across the world, hard right populists are on the march, peddling politics that is dangerous, divisive, and downright dishonest. We simply must defeat them. We owe it to history. We owe it to the nation. And we will defeat them.
Just remind me what he was talking about.
Well, he's saying that One Nation represents a threat to workers' living standards, their circumstances, their rights that have been won by the trade union movement and have been accorded by this Labor government, other Labor governments, and that in general people would be much, much worse off under the sort of policies that Pauline Hanson is advocating, all of which might be correct. But again, you come back to the fact that I think these frustrated voters are just not listening. Now, in terms of what Labor can do, well, the One Nation voters' grievances arise significantly out of economic circumstances. So the most effective way that the Labor government can combat One Nation is for circumstances, economic circumstances in particular, that they improve. But that's, of course, easier said than done.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, it is a problem for the Liberal Party too, which is in sort of dire straits. That's quite significant in itself.
One of the interesting things in the by-election was that the Liberals were divided over how to combat One Nation. Of course, Andrew Hastie accused the state Liberals essentially of running dead. They denied that, but certainly their leader was more accommodating to One Nation, thinking that defeat of Labor, whoever did it, was a good thing, and it didn't really matter whether it was One Nation.
Mm.
Now, Andrew Hastie, who's very aggressive against One Nation, has a big set of problems. Apart from the general threat of One Nation, the party is particularly passionate about him because he gave evidence against Ben Robert Smith, the VC winner, who ran a defamation case, which he lost. One Nation very much supports Ben Robert Smith in all circumstances. So does Gina Reinhart, who, of course, is Western Australian. And so there's a lot of pressure coming on Andrew Hastie from those quarters.
They are scared. They are really scared that now they have to fight and work for their seats. And guess what? I'll tell them now, it's too late. You've proven, you've shown your colours to the Australian people and they want change.
Well, Michelle, as you have noted, Pauline Hanson, she actually watched the WA by-election result unfold from Victoria, and that is, of course, the next battleground with a state election coming up in November. How many seats do we know at this stage will One Nation be after in that state? And that will be, will it not, more significant than a result in WA?
Certainly, I think it'll be more significant. One Nation does surf on success, and it needs reasonable success in Victoria to keep this momentum going. And in the new year, it faces the New South Wales election, which is probably more important to it than the Victorian one.
Mm.
In terms of seats, the Victorian situation is very unclear. I think the Liberals at the moment, who are travelling well in Victoria, no, not well anywhere else, but certainly Jess Wilson, their leader in Victoria, is doing well. They are probably thinking at the moment of minority government, so they would therefore have to depend on presumably some One Nation wins to sustain that minority government. But frankly, it's a very murky picture. One Nation says it will contest all seats. It hasn't yet nominated all its candidates by any means. I think more nominations or more announcements are imminent, but it would hope to pick up some seats in Victoria, but no one seems clear on how many that would likely be. In the upper house in Victoria, however, it is likely to do pretty well and would be pitching to exercise considerable power via those seats.
Yeah. All right. Well, Michelle, Pauline Hanson, she sits in the Senate right now, but as we have mentioned before, she wants to be Australia's next Prime Minister. Do you think that she will make a move to the lower house between now and 2028, setting herself up to be the nation's leader? And do you think that her bid for the Lodge is simply a wild dream?
Well, in terms of her moving houses, certainly she sent out a lot of signals that's very much in her mind. Now, she's probably not made a final decision on that, and I think that she'll wait till closer to the time, see how these state elections go, see how the polling is looking before she makes a final decision and makes that jump. But on present indications, you'd have to say that she'd be a very strong chance in a lower house seat, but a lot can go wrong. It would be a risk. As for a bid for the Lodge, well, she keeps telling us that she's up to the job. She's not modest in this regard, but I again, would risk the prediction that we won't see Pauline Hanson in the lodge.
Michelle Grattan is the chief political correspondent at The Conversation and a professorial fellow at the University of Canberra. This episode was produced by Ilaria Brophy. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is Sydney Peed. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.